Hi, Payne and Pendergast with you. We are live in West Virginia. We should be talking to the McNairs, Cal and Hannah, a little later on this hour. Looking forward to chatting with the owners of the Texans. In the meantime, we are getting ready for what it sounds like is going to be a lively day out here. They're in pads, and the play out here is going to be very situational and scrimmage-like, so this should be fun. I don't know if it'll still be ones versus ones and twos versus twos. I'm kind of hoping, Seth, that there's a little more blending of which strings are going against each other.
Yeah, ones versus twos.
I wouldn't mind seeing the first string offense go against somebody other than possibly the best defense in football.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I was talking to Drew Hodgson yesterday, former Texans offensive lineman, and I had floated to him, you know, he was asking about the offensive line, and I said part of the problem is, man, this defense is operating at a very advanced level, whereas the offense is just trying to figure things out. And I said, I feel like it should be, I feel like they should go ones versus twos a couple times just to get a feel for operating the offense it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And Drew said, I don't know, man, that's kind of a crush to the ego right there. I don't, like, you feel like you're being treated like a remedial student or something.
Oh, like you're not playing on the all Madden level anymore. You're playing college level.
Yeah, and I said, I don't mean just the offensive line or anything. Just make the whole format of practice ones versus twos, twos versus ones. And then I started thinking, boy, but the number one defense versus the second string offense would be,
oh boy,
that might be criminal.
You know what
that
though? It's interesting, and I'm not saying that the second string offense would deal on them or anything like that. But I would. Davis Mills has had an excellent training camp. I would kind of like to see him go against a little higher level of competition. Just to see if he can, you know, make some things happen.
That's a good call there, Shauners.
Thanks.
You bolstered my case.
That's right. I'd like to see it, too.
Because there's times out here where it's true. Like anything, when you're trying to learn something new and you just get dropped in the most difficult circumstances, it's hard to sometimes even just to operate effectively, realistically. And I feel like that's where the offense has been. I'm not making excuses for him or anything. It's just that's the reality of the situation.
Yeah.
But you also don't want him to feel like you're, you know, putting a
like
floaty
making,
on
yeah.
him and throwing him in the pool.
Wait a second.
You're inflating
CJ,
floaties.
I don't, go in the deep end, CJ. Yeah. You don't go past that line in the pool there.
The buoys.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right, so you talked to Danielle Hunter yesterday.
I did.
Yeah.
I had a nice conversation with him. And
tweeted out a picture of him, yeah. And I feel like we should send to foreign countries and say, this is why you shouldn't mess with us.
This guy
right here. We've got a million of this guy. We've got one.
It's funny because there's lots of guys on this team that have pretty impressive physiques. Like Azeez Alshire, pretty impressive physique. But even Azeez Alshire a couple weeks ago was talking about how he wishes he could look like Danielle. And you don't really quite appreciate it until you're standing right next to Danielle and he's wearing a sleeveless shirt. And you're like, this isn't... Come on, man.
Yeah.
This isn't fair
it's
at all.
It's not real.
It's not fair.
Yeah.
And but he obviously works at it.
Yeah.
So the one thing, I'd wanted to ask him about how he gained 5 pounds, because that was kind of a surprise when he said he gained 5 pounds.
Yeah, I'm looking at him like, where?
It's not like a guy that looked like he needed to add bulk or anything. He said it was from pull-ups. He's just really started focusing on weighted pull-ups, doing weighted pull-ups all off.
So I got to look at his lats together today, maybe.
They're impressive. News alert. Compared to last year when they looked awful or something, I don't know. But I don't think he was intending to gain 5 pounds. It's just because he started focusing on weighted pull-ups. And I put that into the bucket of advice that people won't follow. I love hearing advice from successful people and the advice that I know people won't follow. Football players especially, you get so fixated on the bench press, and it's really hard to convince high school kids that they should really also be doing as many reps of bench press as you do. You need to do the same number of back exercises or deadlifts or whatever, but it can build mass and it makes you more functionally strong. So that was cool.
And you'll look just like Danielle Hunter when it's all over.
I had a very meathead conversation with him for about 5 minutes on the value of pull-ups. Which is going to be better for a podcast or something than the radio. But this is my favorite part. This is the one time during the interview where Danielle actually got pretty animated.
Yeah.
We were talking about pass rush and how much, so much of it is just drilling it, scouting your opponent, having a plan, but then like kind of letting your reaction take over. Mm-hmm. But he said that he's never really, he usually has a pretty good plan for how he wants to attack a guy going into a game. But as many of you recall, he had one of the sickest pass rush moves I've ever seen against one of the best offensive tackles in the league, Penei Sewell, mm-hmm. in the Detroit Lions game, where he went upfield, jumped inside, then spun back around to the outside, ended up pressuring the quarterback, not getting a sack. But as we're talking about how he usually has a pretty good plan for how he's going to attack guys, this is how that particular move came to be.
That move that I did on Penei, I don't, that just happened.
You don't know where it came from?
That just happened.
It just happened.
That just happened.
It was beautiful.
It was cool to see his eyes kind of light up. He's so calm, cool, and collected.
But it just happened.
Yeah, it just happened. And, well, we were also talking about how, as a pass rusher, you learn that, you know, you want to have a plan, but on any specific move, you don't ever want to be thinking necessarily, this is exactly what I'm going to do.
Yep.
You just kind of, it just comes to you.
Yep.
And you get into that flow state of everything happening. But that particular sequence of moves that he pulled wasn't even anything he'd ever consciously thought about. And that's what people will say, he's like an artist as a pass rusher. Mm-hmm. And that sounds like how people describe art.
Yeah.
You get really, really technically proficient. But then something happens where it's almost like the God or the universe takes over.
Yeah.
And you're almost like observing your body. Like,
yep.
that's what that one play looks like. That dude, he might be the most dialed in human being I've ever met in terms of just, I don't think he thinks about a single thing other than just
pull-ups and football
and pass rushing
pull-ups,
and everything else. Yeah.
Pull-ups and football. That's it. So I think we're about to get Cal and Hannah McNair here.
Who are they? Who they?
They are the owners of the National Football League franchise in the
Mike
city
D'Antoni.
Of Houston. And Mike D'Antoni, too. Oh,
yo,
oh my God.
Mike D'Antoni for support,
Cal? We need more headsets.
Mike D'Antoni not looking a day older than the last time I saw him.
I know. What's up, Coach? How are you? Good to see you. All right, we've got two headsets, so whoever wants to sit down and take them, let's go. All right, we're going to get Mike D'Antoni and
Cal
McNair. All right.
Hannah, do you want a headset? We could scrounge up a headset somewhere. Okay. We'll have Mike on for a little bit.
Yep.
We're not going to give him the. We're not going to try to get the Pelicans game plan or anything. Because Mike is working. And what's your role now with?
No, I'm done.
Oh, you're done?
I'm done.
Are you good?
First summer. Yeah.
No way. Yeah. Really? Yeah. Okay, so what was your official role with the Pelicans?
Probably coaching advisor.
Yeah.
And I would talk with Willie all the time, Willie Green.
Yeah.
Great guy, great coach. And just, you know, sit down with him after every game and we just talk basketball.
Really?
Yeah, it was fun.
Basketball and then probably human stuff a little bit too, just.
You know, coaches are good.
Yeah.
And X's and O's. Everybody knows X's and O's.
Yeah.
So most of us human. How would you treat a guy? You know, you got to tell him something. What would you do before the game, after the game? Would you call him? And, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. Who did you have in that capacity when you were a coach? Did you have somebody?
No, it's just kind of new. It's, I think the Van Gundys have done it a little bit. And Steve Clifford, some ex-coaches have done, especially the young coaches, first time they're on the bench.
Mm.
And I started when Willie's first year. So he kind of named it. As we grew, he didn't really, you know, fourth year. It's like, okay, Coach, I got it.
I feel like you need to, you know what you need to do for that? Your office should have been a porch somewhere overlooking a lake or something.
Oh, yeah.
Where Willie just comes over late at night and he's like, hey, Coach, can I just sit out? And you sit in rocking chairs and you can sit there and kind of just think about it.
Oh,
you got a different perspective on things. He's in the heat of the moment and you can kind of, almost like when you something you tell
it's
a younger...
a therapist.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people support, you know, all the coaches support the players. You know, yeah, owners are owners. Kyle.
Yeah.
Yep.
But... nobody supports the coach.
I think he meant that nicely, Cal. Yeah.
He said, you know,
everybody's
owners.
Got their roles. That's what he meant. A little drive-by on Cal.
Off on their yachts.
Yeah. That's funny.
But nobody supports the coach. And one of the things coaches need is just feedback about, did I screw that up? It's like, build them up. Because you can go with a tailspin, and that's when you make bad decisions.
Yeah.
We were talking about that earlier with quarterbacks. And, you know, as a quarterback, you're a leader of a team, and you make mistakes, and it's not – I think most quarterbacks, it's not that they feel awful that they made a mistake. It's that they let everybody else down. And that's harder to come back from that than just you yourself disappointing.
100%. You almost feel embarrassed
yeah.
around the other guys because you do have that feeling.
Yeah.
And it's more of a – support and trying to get him confident and doing what he does. Mm-hmm. And then if he's good enough, he's good.
Yeah.
If he's not, you're not.
Yeah.
But you can't make decisions when you're down the dumps.
Yeah.
And you got to be positive.
Okay, so while we got you here for a couple of minutes, what did you think about the job Ime Udoka did with the Rockets this past season?
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good coach.
Yeah.
I was with him on the bench in Brooklyn
for
a year. So I've got to know Ime pretty well. Good coach, tough guy, good guy. And now they got Kevin Durant.
Yeah, how do you think that's going to work?
Right, it's going to work well. You got a great player.
Yeah.
So it's going to work well. Now, I'm sure the expectations are off the roof, as usual. Oklahoma City might have something to say about it. But they'll compete for a championship. And that's where it should be.
Yeah, absolutely. So where's the connection? Did the connection here go back to the – and I'm pointing to Cal McNair and Mike D'Antoni here. If you're just tuning in, Mike D'Antoni dropping in here on us in West Virginia, which is your – this is your home state here.
Right.
The connection with the Texans here, does it go back to the Rockets days, or was it something that kind of came up when the Texans started coming to the Greenbrier back in 2017?
No, obviously.
How did you guys get to know each other?
Well, a little bit here because the first time they were here, got to know them a little bit. But mostly – through charity work in the city of Houston when the flood happened back in 16, I think, and raising money for SBP, which put people back in their homes. And the McNairs were a big part of that, as they always are in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And just meeting them and really marvel what they do. It's
and great. What's is Laurel around here? Is
she's raising money somewhere.
Is she? Oh, is that what she? So you've retired, but she's out there still.
She's working. Yeah,
she's working.
She's the younger of the two. So
yeah,
she has to work for another 10 years.
She's awesome.
She's out there making the world a better place. Yeah,
hopefully. Yeah.
Well, we had talked to Laurel about the flood relief in West Virginia. Gosh, it was 7-8 years ago now. At
it's
this
about
point,
the same as Harvey.
It was the same.
One summer. Wow. Next summer it was in Houston.
That same time, wasn't it? Yeah. I would tell you, Mike, this is such an incredibly beautiful state. I mean, it's really, you come up here and you just feel like your entire mindset changes. This is where you should have brought Willie. You got to bring him up here.
Yeah.
Sit out on a porch with some women.
He might not ever leave.
Yeah.
Become the West Virginia Pelicans.
Yeah, exactly. He's got a nice porch. He can sit on the porch. Really enjoy it.
Yeah, rocking chairs out
there. Yeah. Cal, though, this is the problem. And you can imagine the one difference in flood relief up here. They almost lost me last night, Mike. Because
it's a scary moment for me.
I didn't have my GPS, and as you know, the cell reception, because there's just beautiful hill canyons and mountains everywhere, I got stuck out away from the radius I was comfortable with.
I got back to the house, and he wasn't there, and I'm like, wait, what's going on? Yeah.
If you start hearing banjos, you need to turn it
off. No, but I was thinking about when it comes to flood relief or something, you know, like during Harvey, at the very least, we still had, you know, you could still communicate, but you had these situations up here, and just to try to communicate with people was probably an extra challenge on top of it.
Obviously, a disaster is bad, and Texas is going through it now.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's incredibly sad.
Yeah.
But we'll pull through. We pulled through. Houston pulled through, and hopefully Central Texas will pull through also.
There's a lot of similarities in the people here and the people in Texas. They're resilient and tough, and we've really enjoyed being around all the West Virginians.
Yeah, no doubt. It's been a great trip, for sure, for sure. All right, well, we got to get Hannah in here for sure.
Hi,
Coach.
Good seeing you.
Coach, good catching up.
Good
Mike D'Antoni.
Enjoy your retirement before you get pulled back in 2 months.
Yeah, that's sure.
You're
done. Can't wait to see where your next stop is.
No, somebody's going to give you a pitch about how you can work from home. Yeah. You got good internet up here, you know?
Spotty.
Yeah, thank you. Good internet, no phone. That's the only problem. Right.
Which I like.
Yeah.
Do you know how nice it is?
Until I have to track your ass down because you missed a turn.
Well, that was right. I might have died. But like to be able to tell somebody, listen, I'm not going to have cell service for 3 hours. Oh.
It's delightful.
Oh, it's so liberating.
Yeah, it is really delightful. Yeah. Thank you to Mike D'Antoni for sitting down with us. That was great. And in steps, Hannah McNair. We got Hannah McNair and Cal McNair out here.
That was fun.
That was fun. That was a nice surprise. Yeah, I appreciate that.
He and Laurel D'Antoni are they're awesome. They're
amazing.
Really, yeah.
They're wonderful people.
Yeah.
They offered to take Cal and the boys onto the golf course, but we haven't had time.
Well, Hannah.
We've been fishing and hunting and doing all kinds of stuff up here.
What'd you hunt?
Yes. Hunter's been riding horses.
Clays.
Oh, okay. Yeah. How would you kill?
Non-living objects.
Got them all.
Calhoun went 21 for 25.
21 of 25.
Wow.
He beat me, yeah.
No kidding.
His first
that
time.
Is rare.
Okay.
Y'all understand.
So how does that feel, Dad? How does that feel when the kids start beating you at things like that?
prideful.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
prideful in
oh,
all
good.
The best
yeah,
ways.
See, it's your kid. Yeah. Okay, good.
You know what? I'm glad we brought up Laurel D'Antoni, though, too, because there's a similar dynamic between Laurel and Mike D'Antoni and Hannah and Cal McNair in that I'm kind of scared of Hannah. And just like I'm kind of scared of Laurel. And just like Laurel, Hannah gives me a lot of crap. People wouldn't see it, but she busts.
She's a ball breaker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Laurel was the same way. What is it about me that you and Laurel D'Antoni feel like you got to go after me?
You just that lovable face.
Yeah, is that what it is?
It doesn't feel like love. That's
if we're giving you a hard time, it's like that family vibe.
Okay, yeah. All right, yeah, good. Yeah. I'll take that.
So how things? This has been great out here. What made this the year to come back to the Greenbrier?
Well, last year we went to
Ohio.
Else.
Yeah,
and so this year they were kind of looking around where to go, and D'Amico had been here before. And we had been here before, and so it was sort of a, you know, logical place. And then from here, the team will go to Minnesota.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not exactly Minnesota, but it's a little closer than Houston.
Mm-hmm.
So getting out of the heat and everything for four or five practices and coming up here all made sense.
Yeah, the one thing that we were talking about is that it's kind of like with all the rules in place and everything, you're kind of limited in how physically demanding you can make training camp. But those first couple of weeks in the Houston heat, that's as close as you're going to get to the Junction Boys. And and it seems like you got to figure
Cal
out.
Cal lit up. Yeah. Cal lit up at that.
Yeah.
Well, you made that reference the other day.
Well played,
I feel like he's copying you.
I don't listen to anything other than our show. So yeah. No, but the you got to balance those two things because obviously an injury during training can be devastating, so you got to try to balance that. Okay, it's grueling and it's tough, but also, all right, we got to pull back at a certain point. And it coming up here in this weather, it's less physically. You guys can recover a little bit from the practice better,
and dehydration and all that. And as you know, when you start training camp, you're in maybe the best shape you've ever been. At the end, you're worn out, you're beat up,
yeah.
And then you're going to start playing games,
yeah.
So really, we want them to feel the best they felt right before they start playing games.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a good way, you know, to try to do that.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're tapering for a long distance run or something.
Right, right.
Tom
right.
Capers once tried to pull that game with me where he said, you know, I read an article about the Tour de France and that at the end of the Tour de France, these guys are in the best shape of their lives.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, but you know what they don't do? They don't go out and do another Tour de France right after.
No.
So you got to figure out, there's got to be a rest and recuperation period.
Yeah. Was this when you were doing two a days?
Yeah, yeah. This is like
a different world.
It was still the real tough stuff was never. I wasn't by the late '90s, everything wasn't. It wasn't as bad as it used to
no.
be. It wasn't like back what the Oilers had to do.
No, yeah. No. We were talking earlier. We got Cal and Hannah McNair with us here live at Texans training camp at the Greenbrier. It feels like I could say this about the last two or three off seasons. It's been a big off season for the team. And the big contracts are starting to pop up here. Derek Stingley's contract and Jalen Petrie gets a deal. And next summer, we know what that could look like with Will and with CJ. And I'm just curious. I'm not going to name other teams, but other teams kind of drag their feet on things like this. You guys have been at the opposite end of that as a team, notably so around the league. You know, Nick has been out in front of these things, doing them soon. And I'm curious, especially the size of these deals. I'm just curious, ownership perspective on the strategy that the front office has taken in making sure that this core nucleus stays together.
Well, that's our hope, is to draft really well and then keep the young players, you know, on your team, is keep as many as you can. And that's what we were able to do this offseason, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll try to do that next year. We're already budgeting that because it's going to be some large numbers coming up, and we got to be ready for it because we want to keep our really good players.
Yeah.
So that's exactly our game plan.
Yeah, yeah.
But don't tell anyone that's what.
No. Yeah, nobody's listening, Cal. It's fine. Yeah, It's all good. Well, it's got to be pretty gratifying. I mean, the training camp this year, the lines around the corner, the fans out there, and you guys greeting them out there. Do you guys ever get a chance to kind of reflect? And I know Super Bowl is the goal and all that stuff, but where the place that you guys are in right now and where you've come so far in the last few years. Do you ever get a chance to reflect on that, just in terms of the vibe around the team?
Yes. I would say everybody seems a lot happier now. We're all on the same page. We're all working towards the same goal. I think we had this conversation yesterday, you guys, after practice.
Yeah.
So I just think that it's in a good place, and you appreciate it more from where we've come from. And I just think we're in a really good spot.
But it's always a work in process, and yeah. We never want to, you know, sit back and go, oh, we're there, because there is no finish line. Mm-hmm. And we want to be hip to hip, all the guys in the room, and try to get where we've never been before. And to do that, you know, we're looking at a few years ago, we're looking at kind of big things to change. And now we're always looking at smaller things to change and get better, and trying to get the thing that will get us where we want to go.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a bunch of little things that we're not going to sit back and just say, hey, we're great, we're where we want to be, but we're not. We're
going to keep working and keep changing. You said hip to hip with the guys in the room. I sure would like to be hip to hip with you, too.
Well, these chairs are too far apart.
Oh, with you as well. Okay. I thought you meant you two as like Cal and somebody else, and I was like, who is it? What's up?
I'm tied in with this cord.
Well, you know what? Sean and I will joke sometimes about just the challenges of being an NFL
oh,
owner.
Joanna.
There you go.
Hey, Joanna. Okay.
She runs out of the shot.
You know what, though? I'm sorry. I got to turn it back around. They don't want us. That's filming.
There's football things going on.
Oh, you're going to get in big trouble.
Yep. Oh. Yeah. Idiots. Put in a good word with D'Amico.
Now, the guys on the sideline are blocking it, but yeah. You never know. Changing a football organization is kind of like steering an ocean liner. Like there's big decisions that you make that have ramifications for a long time. So Sean and I will joke about how, hey, having a good NFL team is easy. All you have to do, it's simple. You just got to hire the right GM and the right head coach.
Yeah.
And like, what? That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
But it's hard. And it's not just the individual. Because I'll say this about Charlie Casserly and Dom Capers. I think I love both of those guys individually.
Absolutely.
I don't know if maybe that was the best pairing and matchup. And it's not because either guy is the wrong guy or not good at what he does. It's just it's hard to figure out who the right team is.
They don't see the game the same way.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just it's not a good or a bad thing, a reflection on either individual. And I guess from an owner's perspective, did you – because I feel really good about the matchup of Nick and D'Amico, obviously. Like, when did you start to get a feel for, all right, these guys are working well together?
Great question, because that is part of, you know, the challenge is to get those two guys working hip-to-hip and seeing through the same lens. And the more Nick understands a player that D'Amico wants, the better he can draft and bring in that player through free agency or however – whatever means, and the more D'Amico can get that vision through all of his coaches, the more it shows up on the field, and all those things have to work together. And so Hannah and I knew D'Amico from when he was here, but Nick really didn't know him.
Yeah.
And so in the interview process, we saw Nick go, you know, I'd like to interview this guy, and as we worked through it, it was this guy and I see things the same way.
Yeah.
And we're going to make a great team. And we're so excited because we knew both of them and felt the same way. And so for that to come together, it came together very, very early in the process. We
yeah.
saw.
Yeah, you're fixing two people up. You know what yeah. I mean? I think this guy would get along good with this guy. And it's worked out so well. I mean,
before we made the decision to move on from the coach, we had to go get a new coach that year. Those were some hard conversations because we knew what was coming for us as soon as Cal decided to let Lovey go. We mm-hmm. knew what we were going to get, but we just had to stay strong, and we knew what we were wanting. So and you can't let that moment pass you by. You got to go.
And he's a wonderful person.
Yeah,
so
Lovey is great.
Coach Cully's wonderful people.
Yeah. Yep.
But sometimes it just doesn't work. So.
Well, and then there's the old thing, too. It's almost like calling up an ex-girlfriend or something when you're newly single, I'm told.
What?
Just with D'Amico, you know, obviously you knew D'Amico, and you had great and fond memories of him. But at the same time, like, you didn't know if he was going to be interested, but you knew he was available.
Yeah.
And just, you know, you're like maybe like a post on Facebook. Like, at what point did you start to realize that?
What point did you start liking things
on
D'Amico's
Facebook?
This is a
real thing.
Facebook.
Like, yeah, we might actually get back together with
D'Amico. Cal, do you have a Facebook?
I'm not sure I'm following this whole thing.
So, at what point?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know, just
so when we play other teams, I'll go talk to their coaches.
Yeah,
I'll see, and so
that's what we meant.
You'll see a team whose defense is playing really well.
Yeah,
and you'll go, you'll take note of that. You'll see an offense that's responding and changing and doing things really well, and so you'll sort of take note of that and sort of know, you know, over the course of years of homework and who seems to be doing a good job and not. And so when the process opens up and you have to go out and do those interviews, you want to interview the guys that are putting out a great defense,
yeah,
or putting out a great offense, and they're communicating and they're, you know, they're able to handle the press conference. They're able to stand up in front of a room and teach the guys and all those things. And coming from a head coach that you might really respect a lot means all those things sort of go together, mm-hmm, and putting together your list of who you want to go talk to.
And the benefit of knowing his personality and what a leader he is, so that also helped with the D'Amico.
Yeah, I mean, he was a captain in high school. He was a captain in college. He, as you know, he stepped onto the field and he became captain of the defense for us. And so at every level, he showed those leadership and he really wanted to lead, and he was really good at it.
You know, that's
at all different levels.
Well, you brought up, you know, the guys that have, when they're coordinators, you can watch their press conferences and you can,
yeah,
see necessarily how they, which, you know, you don't want to think that that's a big part of it and it shouldn't be, and yet it is because you're the forward-facing representation of the team. And it's, I'm always struck by a lot of times guys become coaches and head coaches, and they actually don't genuinely have that much experience with the media or with being at the podium and everything. And and sometimes it's comical when you start to see it. So is that, do you actually, when you start thinking about potential candidates, you're sitting down and you're watching some of these coordinator press conferences?
Yeah, well, we look at a whole lot of things, and that is one of the things that is of interest to me, see how he stands up in front of a group and answers questions. And
Hannah, you're holding back a laugh. Is that, who are you thinking about? Which press conference are you thinking of? You don't have to say it.
I can't. I'll tell you after.
I can't wait for this.
Yeah.
It could be one of 78. There's like 78 different examples out there.
So is you holding your hand over your mouth a new and improved Hannah, or is this?
I'm trying.
Okay.
Omar's like watching.
From a content
right
standpoint, I like the old Hannah. I'm just saying. All right.
I'm trying to be good.
Okay.
I don't know that we'd know anything about a head coach who doesn't know how to handle press. I don't think we need to know anything about that.
At all.
As far as what you've seen out here at training camp so far.
No, Omar's taking.
Yeah.
But I'm helping you out here. As far as what you guys have seen out of training camp so far, what are the, the positive developments? We talk about, the offense is obviously, they're starting off with the defense having a big head start. You know, the defense is ready to go in a lot of ways. The offense is trying to work a lot of new things out. I thought that a couple days ago, some of the physicality from the offensive line showed up in a way that I know that they're hoping for.
I'm still trying to get over what Hannah was talking about. So.
Okay.
No, I think the defense is showing how good their potential is, and we got to go play games, but it's really, really exciting for us to see that. And I think they're pushing the offense to their limits. And I'm excited to see the offense go against a team with a different color jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think they are, too.
I think they're going to, you know, have better results. But I think they're seeing a really good defense right now.
No doubt. All right. Well, we got to get out. Top of the hour coming up here. We appreciate you guys sitting down with us.
Who's crosstalk?
Lopez. We're a little late on crosstalk. I butchered the whole clock to accommodate you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
you need some ads here.
Yeah. So
pay the bills.
I'm willing to go take the heat for it for you guys.
I got to go pay out-of-state tuition at University of Oregon.
It's a fun hobby.
Yeah.
Hey, seriously, we appreciate you guys and appreciate you bringing the team here, because that means we got to come here and we've really enjoyed this whole week. This has been excellent.
It's all for you.
Yeah, thank you. Hopefully it's an annual tradition. Yeah.
Hold on, I got to get in. It's great to see Seth here right next to you.
Oh, thank you.
couldn't resist. The old Hannah is still here. That's good to see.
It's like when a child comes home, you're like, welcome back.
He's put into my DMs on Facebook.
Facebook.
Cal DMs are this thing that, never mind. Yeah.
You do not need to know anything.
All right. Cal and Hannah McNair, we appreciate you guys. As always, that was a lot of fun. The owners of the Houston Texans. When we come back, we'll do a little bit of crosstalk with the guys on In the Loop, find out what they've got going on. We'll do that coming up next, live from the Greenbrier. Stay there.